This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's beginning to make its presence felt in empty chairs at the workplace, in sad little Facebook status updates saying, all right, it got me, I'm sick. Flu season is upon us. Federal officials report 35 states are now experiencing widespread influenza activity, with young and middle-aged adults being hit hardest this year, rather than the usual pattern of seniors or children. So let's start with the flu season and find out what it looks like here in Michigan as we welcome Dr. Matthew Davis, Chief Medical Executive for the State Health Department and, of course, a professor at the University of Michigan. Good to have you with us, Doctor.
Good to be here.
What are we seeing in Michigan? What's worrying doctors most this year?
What's really come at us just in the past 3 to 4 weeks now is a flood of cases of what's known as H1N1 influenza. Our listeners may recognize that name, H1N1, as the pandemic flu virus that was all of a sudden hitting countries around the globe back in 2009 and 2010.
Remember it so well, pictures of people in the Far East with masks everywhere, and there was H1N1, I think, is branded on many brains.
And it was bad here in Michigan as well, mm-hmm. where we had one of the toughest seasons we've ever had for flu in the past 10 years. And as you noted before, it affected younger and middle-aged adults who generally think of themselves as healthy and probably not at too much risk for getting severe flu illness.
So what kind of incidents are we seeing throughout the state at this point?
What we're seeing is above the usual level of people going to the doctor's office and emergency rooms with flu-like symptoms, first of all. We know there's a lot of flu activities in our communities across the state. Number two, and this is what's even more concerning, we're seeing hospitalizations for previously healthy individuals, in some cases needing life support. And that level of intensity of care is something that we've really only seen recently back in 2009-2010 when H1N1 was here.
And as you were saying, when we're looking at the fact that it's more of the middle-aged and younger adults getting hit versus seniors, we have that idea that if someone is medically frail and is a senior, it's kind of not a surprise that they might wind up on life support at a hospital. But this is a kind of a new curveball.
This is a curveball that we saw for the first time back in 2009 and 2010, and we're seeing it again. The good news for this is that back in 2009-2010, groups at the University of Michigan that specialize in a special form of life support called ECMO, or extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. It's essentially a heart and lung bypass machine for critically ill people. We're very helpful in helping other hospitals, not only across the state but across the country and around the world, take up ECMO for adults. ECMO was originally started at the University of Michigan by Dr. Bob Bartlett, who started it for neonates, for babies who were just born, and then it extended out to kids and then into adults. So adults are actually the last group to get the benefit of this particular type of life-saving technique. It turns out since 2009, we've seen more use in adults for ECMO than we've ever seen before. And that was all prompted by our national experience with H1N1 back a few years ago.
What can you tell us about what H1N1 does to the body that explains this development where we're seeing not the very young and the very old, but the middle-aged to younger adults? What happens in the body because of H1N1?
In general, when we see a very severe case of flu that sends somebody to the hospital or especially puts them on life support, we're seeing an overwhelming infection in the lungs where the body's immune response, its own natural response to the infection, is so strong that there's a lot of fluid that's released into the lungs, and it's like trying to breathe underwater, which, as we know, doesn't work so well if we're humans. So that's why we end up with people in the intensive care unit. And if that problem is worsened by other organ systems that are not working as well, for example, the heart or the circulatory system, sometimes people need advanced life support to make it through that severe illness.
But why is it hitting that age group in the center bubble as opposed to the opposite ends?
If we had a good answer to that, we'd be years ahead. Experts around the world do not yet understand why H1N1 mm-hmm. flu seems to be worse than what we call seasonal flu, the other types of influenza that we generally see each year. That's what makes prevention so important. And as a primary care doctor through the U of M health system and as the state's chief medical executive, I really encourage people to go out and get vaccinated even this season. Although we're starting to see cases of the flu, we get protection from vaccination within just 2 weeks, and we're likely to see a long flu season this time around.
So heading out to get a vaccination now would put you in good stead for the flu season to come, because this is going to play out for weeks.
We expect it to, based on the pattern we saw back in 2009-2010, which lasted for several months. The great story about this year's flu vaccine, Cindy, is that although experts have to guess every February which circulating flu strains will be present the following season, they guessed right on the money this year. And so you've got H1N1 flu in the vaccine, and then two or even up to three other strains, and those strains are exactly the ones that are circulating in our communities.
And there's plenty of vaccine around, so we don't have shortages?
There's plenty of vaccine around at the national level. To the extent we have counts available at the state level, we expect that there are truly tens, if not hundreds of thousands of doses of vaccine in doctors' offices, pharmacies, and other locations in our communities.
I just saw a report today, Doctor, that finds that when you look at the total percent of children and adults who were vaccinated for flu in last year, Michigan's tied with Mississippi for 41st place. And then you look at adults 18 and over, we're 46th. Why are we such laggards in getting that flu shot?
That is a challenge here in Michigan in terms of the mindset. I don't know whether it's a Midwestern, we'll make it through, just bring it on type of attitude about flu, or it's a sense that maybe there won't be as much benefit as I would want from flu. Let me just try to take my chances. Either way, flu is nothing to mess with. And we're seeing that this year with the severe illnesses in previously healthy individuals and a situation where we actually have a vaccine that is perfectly matched to the strains that are going around. There is no more effective vaccine against flu than the one we have this year.
And what do you say to people, and I've worked with people who say, I don't get a flu shot because it'll give me the flu.
The flu shot does not have any flu virus in it. It is a killed vaccine that builds your immunity to flu by exposing your immune system to particular proteins. Those are the H's and the N's that we hear about in the names of these flu bugs. So when your body is stimulated by the vaccine against those proteins, then it'll react to the flu virus if you're exposed to it.
We should make sure that we get your expertise and have you explain to one and all when we need to feel that what we're feeling is flu. How do we know it's not just I ate something or I'm getting a cold versus this could be H1N1?
That's a natural question. In fact, we know that right about now, especially in long-term care environments like nursing homes, there are actually cases of norovirus going around that you may have heard of on cruise ships in the summertime.
Yes.
Those are common also in very contained care settings like nursing homes in the wintertime. We're seeing that here in Michigan, and some people might interpret that as, quote, unquote, the stomach flu. But it's actually a different illness that unfortunately we don't have a vaccine for yet. The flu, as in influenza, really has a couple key components that I listen for when I'm listening to my patients talk about their symptoms. Number one, you often do have some congestion in your nose and throat, perhaps a sore throat as well. Number two, there's often a cough that goes with that. And fever is a very common element of the flu. If you don't have fever, the chances that you have influenza are very low. Furthermore, if you have body aches, that's very uncommon with a common cold or with norovirus, a GI illness, gastrointestinal illness. And so body aches are very common with influenza itself.
Dr. Matthew Davis, who's professor at the University of Michigan and chief medical executive for the State Health Department. A pleasure to have your insights and your advice. Thank you so much.
Good to be with you.
And we asked you today on Facebook, what do you do to keep the flu away? Frank says raw garlic with a raw honey chaser. Margie says vitamins D, C, and zinc every day. Chris says don't touch your face without washing your hands. Grab door handles in the least grabbed spot and hit elevator buttons with your knuckle. And finally, Jeremy told us, and I quote him here, transfusions of shark blood. I'm assuming Jeremy was joking, I think.